in every single category. And a lot of the instructors were blaming the students, saying that it's because we have open enrollment and our students aren't capable and stuff. You guys find, you know the stuff we were talking about, like where the students just want the formulas, the plug and chug and all that?
Yeah.
Do you see that at your universities also?
Yeah. I know, I do.
Okay. That's what I was trying to tell them. I was like, well, I know people for, and that was my impression from listening to our discussion. And they
what were your benchmarks?
70%. 70% at or exceeding in all of our categories, and we had some that were down in the 20s. And they were just horrible. Our results are awful. And like I said, I have issues with blaming the students. It's our job to teach the students, and we can't use it as an excuse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I just wanted to see. One of the things they were talking about was that our students don't want to learn anything. They just want us to tell them exactly how to get to an answer, and they don't want to accept that there's any gray area in statistics. They want everything to be black and white. And like, but that's not just our students.
That's everyone.
I just wanted to confirm that it was something you all see also. So, anyway. All right, so we are recording. So our goal for today is to get through the rest of the research instrument questions. Is it just the four of us?
What was that?
Is it just the four of us?
Oh, this is Felicity. I'm here.
Oh, hi, Felicity.
Sorry.
All right. So let's start. Why don't we just go down? We were done with food irradiations. Why don't we go to the texting while driving is dangerous one? Did everybody have a chance to look over it since last Wednesday?
A little bit.
Yeah, I looked at mine at least. A little revisions.
I did make some. So the texting while driving was mine. And I did make some revisions. You can see I actually have a lot of information for mine. Well, first of all, I added a second article. The first article I put up there had some sampling issues. It wasn't a randomized study. It was an observational study, and they only looked at long-haul truck drivers. And yet they make this kind of casual statement that we didn't really study this explicitly, but we believe the behavior, the texting behavior of long-haul truck drivers is similar to other car drivers. So they found these risks based on their truck drivers and extended it to all drivers. So it had some methodological issues. That's my article one. I put the full article link in case anyone was curious, and then I tried to abbreviate it to make it something that students could read in a reasonable amount of time in a classroom setting, and I tried to narrow in on the issues. And this is something we actually do in our class with our students a lot when we're talking about how to design an experiment. We give them a lot of different articles to read, and then we discuss them using the exact text of the article. But if people didn't like that approach, I also just tried more of a classic problem setup approach where I just summarize the article there. So I went through and I added a little bit more detail to my summaries. Or actually, I tried to add a lead-in sentence to talk about, you know, why this could be a problem or that there is concern over the dangers of texting while driving, which I think most students will be comfortable with. And then I added a second article that I found, which actually had pretty good sampling techniques. And this I did a combination. There wasn't a lot of good information in the newspaper article, so I actually found the study and included some methodological information from the study itself at the end of the article so that students could judge the sampling and the study design. And that one I think was actually better. Instead of an observational study, it actually had, it wasn't a truly random mechanism, but they had students in a driving simulator, so you had a paired study where whether they texted first or whether they did a run without texting was alternated. The order of those was alternated for each of the participants. So you have a paired design, you have, it wasn't completely random, you account for learning effects and order treatments and things like that. So it was a slightly better study, still finds the same conclusions that texting while driving is dangerous. And then the question, very straightforward. On this one, I just have one, but we could always add something about changing methodology if we want to. But I just asked students, you know, if you had to vote on a law about banning texting while driving, does the study convince you that this should be outlawed? So those were the two I had there. Any comments as people are scanning through them?
Is that supposed to be drunk driving?
That's what I was just wondering.
Drink driving?
Oh, then drink driving? Yeah, well, drunk.
Okay.
I just copied and pasted that in.
Okay, so this is who...
Thank you.
No, you're right. That was just a random typo that I was noticing.
I might change the spelling up.
I think percent should be one word, too, in the first sentence.
Actually, they're all separated.
They are all separated, you're right.
All right.
I think it's, yeah.
It's a British paper. This one was actually...
Exactly.
Okay.
That was Brits.
Yeah. I just changed the spelling of center to make it the American.
Yeah, I saw that, too. I was going to mention I guess
right.
My one general comment, and I don't know if this is a problem necessarily, because I know with a real article you do get a lot of information. It just seems like a lot of information to process.
Well, we can skim it back. Like I said, I tried to do an initial cut to pare it down a little, but we certainly can pare it down more. For example, really what I want them to focus on is the 35%. The reaction time. So we could maybe, can you guys see when I highlight something or no?
I think it's, but.
Try putting save and see what happens.
Well, what I did is I basically took the three sentences starting from in addition and going to in 1 minute, and we could just try deleting those.
That's probably a good idea.
You like the shorter version better?
Well, just sort of relates to our earlier discussion. What I find is that students don't read, so shorter is always better.
That's probably true. Do you think in that case it might be a better idea to just go with the summaries instead of the actual articles?
I would tend to think so. I don't know. What do the rest of you guys think?
I think I tried to kind of mix, at least my questions, tried to mix mine together a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, I ended up trying to clean it up and shorten it and make it as succinct as possible. Just because, yeah, I know that they're going to probably skim and not pick up every little piece that's in the article.
Especially if we're thinking about doing something online. I mean, if it was in our classroom, as annoying as it would be, we could read them with them, but to make sure they all hear them. But if we're doing online, then...
So that's actually a good point. So do we want to just go with the summaries then, and I can delete the abbreviated articles? I could always reconstruct them pretty easily because all I did was just copy and paste and delete unnecessary stuff. Should we just go with a summary?
Yes.
Okay. Clean that up a little bit.
Yeah, I think we just have to accept the fact that they have very short attention spans. And
I know. We should try and do this all in 160 character bytes.
Well, that's probably a good thing, too, is to have everything be the same since not everything we can find an exact article for.
Yeah.
That way we're kind of comparing the same thing.
So looking at the summaries then, is there anything grammatically or that I need to change or clean up?
I guess I just have a question because I don't know if this will, you know, inhibit results or not, but I don't talk about relative risk or anything ever in my class. So is that lack of knowledge going to cause a problem with this?
I don't think so. We don't talk about it in our class either, but this is the actual language that the article uses, and I think they have, we know it's probably not precise. They have, I think they're going to have some vague sense that they know what 23 times greater means.
Okay.
I think that language is fairly commonplace. Does anyone disagree with that or feel strongly about that?
I think it's something that's often enough in newspapers and whatnot that I would assume people would understand it.
Okay.
Harley, just a... I don't know, maybe this is just me, but when you re-summarized it, you used the number one instead of writing out the word one.
The one to drive, that type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know why, but that's, I'm finding that distracting, because then I think the ones are important.
Okay.
In terms of...
in terms of the hunt and pack to find for numbers?
Exactly. I know that sounds silly, but...
That's fine.
Yeah.
Looking at the first one, the last sentence, researchers feel that the findings generally apply to all drivers. Do you think our students, when they're going to read that and be like, well, the person who did the study thought that it was applicable to everyone, why who am I to question them? I mean, they're supposed to be the experts.
I don't know, to be honest. I would hope that it wouldn't, but that could be interesting to see if that is a common response too. I was actually hoping by including that in there, I was actually hoping it might spark some people to say, like actually to take issue with that statement and say, you know, well, why would truck drivers be representative of all drivers? Maybe not in that exact language, but that sentiment.
So would the question that goes with that one be, do you agree with the researcher's conclusions as opposed to your state legislature?
Yeah.
Would that be more direct to get them away from thinking, well, the researcher said that, so it must be true, type of attitude?
Yeah, I was trying to have questions that would be the same for both articles. I think it would be a good idea to have questions that would be the same for both articles. So would that same question make sense in the context of Article 2? Just saying, do you agree with the findings of this study, or does it provide convincing? Is that the same idea as providing convincing evidence?
No. We couldn't use it for the second one, I don't think.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, sorry. No, I don't think we could use it for the second one. I really liked the state legislature question that you wrote with the second article.
I mean, one thing we can do is since we're in... Since we're in the pilot phase, we could leave the sentence in and see how big of a distractor it is. Or if everybody feels strongly about it, we could just go ahead and delete the last sentence from the first summary.
we're going to pilot. Well, hopefully we're going to pilot it, right?
Yeah.
So let's just see what we get. We can change it for the actual one if we need to.
Okay. We can also decide. I mean, once we see this an actual, like, document set up, if it looks too long, we can always decide to change it.
I'm thinking, you know, I mean, I have a lot of, I don't know what your class is of populations, who takes them, but in mine, I have a lot of first semester freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very much in this belief that everything they read in the book is true, everything that they hear from the, you know, the experts are always right. That's
right.
Just my concern. But let's see what happens.
And I guess I have a quick question for, like, the questions for students that we have about providing the sufficient evidence that it should be outlawed. I guess my question is do you want the answer to Article 2 to be yes correctly? Because they're kind of doing a generalization, too. We have 17 to 24-year-olds and then trying to do it for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. Someone could pick up on that. I do think that, in general, the methodology in Article 2 is better than the methodology in Article 1. Let's say students were actually comparing them to each other, I would say Article 2 definitely provides more convincing evidence than Article 1. I wouldn't really be asking students to do that necessarily, but...
If you're not giving them the actual article, what about taking out the last sentence of Article 1 that talks about comparing the texting behavior of truck drivers to typical car drivers?
We could do that. That's what we were just talking about. I could also take detail about the ages in Article 2 and just say 17 participants. I also just realized that's totally not a complete sentence in there. I had done some editing and combining of sentences, and it didn't combine well, I just realized. Tell me if you think that's better for Article 2, and then we can get rid of the last sentence for Article 1. Since there seems to be more people who the consensus seems to be switching towards, get rid of it. Does that seem a little more reasonable now for those two setups?
I can't see what you changed yet.
Oh, really?
I can see it for Article 2 and not Article 1.
Okay, I can see it now.
Yeah, actually, now that I'm looking at it shorter, I think I do like it better.
Okay. Is there a way to shorten up? I don't know if there's really a way to shorten up the next one. Okay. What do you guys think about the questions? Should I leave the question as is? Do we want to have a follow-up of, if you could change something, what would you change?
Ooh, I like that.
Okay, I thought that some other people had that, so we could...
Carla, you have a very noisy keyboard.
I have a very noisy keyboard. Sorry, my phone is right over the keyboard and you're on the speaker. I'm not at the office today. I'm at home on my cell. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I just thought it was cute. Clicking away.
Oh, here. I'm actually going to steal, read the wording of your question. If you were...
What did I say? I don't remember. If you were conducting the survey, would you do something differently? Blank.
Yeah. I'm just going to change it to study. If you were conducting a study, would you do anything differently? Explain.
It occurs to me, I mean, I know I said I love that, but it occurs to me that it might be a giveaway. What about just saying why or why not?
Oh, okay. Instead of explain.
Do other people feel that way?
I don't. How does asking them to explain how they would conduct the study address our research questions? If we ask them, does this provide convincing evidence, and explain why you think it provides convincing evidence or why it doesn't, that I see directly addressing our research questions. How does asking them what they would do differently address our research? Specific goals.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, but also the question right now points them to the design of the study as something to think about. So I would just rephrase that whole line as just why or why not, so that in addition to getting a yes-no type of answer, we also get their reasoning.
Yeah, that was how I understood that.
Yeah.
Second part of it was just to make sure that we kind of pointed them toward the sampling technique, and they talked about that a little so we could get an idea of why they said whatever response they had.
I think of the sampling will, but the second question might currently introduce the sampling idea to people who weren't thinking that.
So I just changed it. Let me know if you can see the changes, and let me know, Felicity, if that's more of what you had in mind.
Yeah.
So just a follow-up to the question, does it provide convincing evidence? Why or why not? Yeah, I guess I meant that implicitly in there, but I forgot you always have to state things explicitly with students. Okay, I think it's good to leave it like that. Are we ready to move on to the luggage one, or does anyone have any other questions, comments, or concerns about the texting one?
I'm good.
I'm good with the texting.
All right, the luggage one, there had been, I think it was Jackie last time mentioned that, you know, her students would probably just even question the statement they randomly select. So I tried to provide a little bit more detail about what I thought would be, like, realistic. Like, okay, if I were really trying to conduct this study, what could I get done? So if you look in option one, I made the setup of the study, or that I tried to make this methodology a little more detailed. And you can compare what the old wording was in option two. I left out the name.
Curly, you need an I in heavier on the first paragraph.
In where?
Heavier on the first paragraph.
Oh, I can't spell to save my life.
Curly, I'm right there with you. I don't.
I've never.
We haven't gotten to my questions yet. It's going to be brutal.
So, what do you guys like better, the wording for option one or the wording for option two? Or can you think of a way to make them even more precise?
So I like the option one better because it gives more specifics about how it was actually done.
And I figured that should hopefully seem like it's somewhat reasonable, like someone could actually implement this. Anyone have any suggestions for making it any better, or do you think it's good enough the way it is? Going to take that to mean it's good enough the way it is. I'll change option two to match. And then option three, I left that one kind of, I mean, I want that one to be the bad one. So I just pick one particular airport, JFK, one particular flight, and even point out that, you know, this is a travel destination. So I'm hoping that might get people to think about it might be different than others. You know, people might be coming back with souvenirs or something like that. So that one, I'm trying to make it intentionally be a bad scenario. So what do you think about the wording of option three?
Do we want him to say something? Do you want to be as obvious as select the first 50 passengers coming off the flight or something like that? Or do you not want to be quite that obvious?
We could even do that, I think.
Because some might think, oh, they randomly selected, you know.
Yeah.
Or they might not. I don't know.
I think for our first go-around, it might be better to make things more explicit rather than less.
Okay.
So does that look good to everyone?
Should we be more specific? There's no problem with excess weight on domestic flights, or there's no problem on... Do you think they need that piece of information? If we're going to ask them something similar about whether or not they agree with what the advocacy group is concluding and what they've done, do they need more information? Conclude there's no problem with excess weight on any flight around the world, or?
Setup, since they're pulling people going through security, that would include both international and domestic flights. The second one is clearly domestic because it's JFK, or it's Orlando to JFK, but
I'm just wondering if our students are going to make those assumptions, or if we need to be specific.
So should I say excess weight on flights originating in the U.S.? I think that's really what would be appropriate for options one and two, is it would be on flights originating in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I will make that the same for the rest of the options as well.
What do you guys think about the question prompt?
The question what?
The question prompt. The question for students.
Oh.
I think we should probably make it consistent with the others that we've done.
Perhaps if you work for the advocacy group, would you recommend... Or, I don't know, well, some of these... There is no problem. Wait, all of these, there is a problem or there isn't a problem? So some of them there is, some of them there isn't.
Yeah. Because in this one, the conclusion kind of regardless of what they conclude, it shouldn't matter. So I kind of just went and included all possible choices.
This is our other neutral one. Should we make the question similar to what we did with the food radiation? Do you agree with the... conclusions of the advocacy group, why or why not, something like that?
Oh, yeah, do you think this is a valid recommendation? That's the question we asked.
Right. So would it say, do you think this is a valid finding?
Or conclusion, yeah.
Okay.
Do you agree with the advocacy group's conclusion? Something like that. We need to go back and add why or why not, or explain to the first ones that we did last time, too.
Yeah, I think consistency would be good with the other neutral question.
Yeah.
question, do we want to delete the second one? If you were conducting this survey, what would you have done differently?
Yeah, I think we're hoping we'll get at that a little bit with the why or why not. But they'll address the sampling issues in the why or why not. At least that's my understanding of where we're going.
All right. How does that look to people? It would be the same question for all four.
I just had a stupid thing to point out, possibly.
Yeah.
On options two and four, the fact that you have 50 for both things might be confusing for students.
Oh, 50 passengers, 50 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know if that would throw them off at all. I just don't know.
Okay. Should I say 55?
Yeah, no. I think one of the numbers needs to be different just so they're not confusing possibly the numbers or.
Yeah. I just changed it to 55. Do you think that's enough of a difference?
Yeah. I think as long as two different numbers, they're not going to pop.
Well, if we're talking about average weight for carry-on, 50 pounds is a little heavy.
I know. So part of what I was doing here was I was trying to make it, like, obvious there was a problem. I didn't want, depending on where we were in the curriculum, I didn't want the question of, oh, is that significantly different to come up. I kind of wanted it to be, quote, unquote, obvious.
Okay, so there is a problem with excessive weight. So these are the ones where there is supposed to be.
Should I make, do you think 49 would be a big enough of a difference, something like that?
Wait.
I mean, I know that's heavy. That's the weight of a check bag, but.
I guess 50, I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking.
These are completely made up numbers, so I'm totally willing to tweak them. However, what I was trying to do was just make it so that it seemed more or less obvious.
I'm just thinking that anyone who's ever flown knows that that's actually the cutoff for checked baggage. So
yeah.
I'm just wondering if students might realize that these are made up numbers. I don't know if that makes any sense, and I don't know if that we can have any control over that.
Right.
In the first paragraph, we said the maximum weight should be 40 pounds. So shouldn't, for the ones that there's no problem, shouldn't we try to make them under 40?
Okay, so I'll make those 39.
And is the 40 pounds what it is in reality, or is that another made-up number?
Actually, no, that is real.
Oh, that is real. Okay.
It's a combined max weight of 40 pounds. That's also not a single bag that's 40 pounds. That's your carry-on bag plus your personal item has to be 40, was my understanding of Googling carry-on restrictions.
Holy moly, I don't carry that much onto the plane.
All right, so we said 35 pounds for the ones where we say there's no excess weight problem. And then what if we said 45 pounds for the one where there was?
Works for me.
Does that seem more reasonable?
Yeah, 55 seems a little...
It was tweaking. I think I had it 45 originally, and then I decided, I should make those more extreme, and so I made them more extreme. But is everyone more comfortable with that? So 35 for the good, or for the no problem, 45 for the problem. That's actually a good point, that the no problem one should be less, since it's a max, not a, the 40, the max, not an average.
Well, yeah, especially when 50 pounds, I believe, is the cutoff for when they charge you for checked luggage, so, and some people might actually know that.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right, so are we good with this one now?
I'm good.
I think so, I'm good.
All right, those are my two.
So next. We can go on to Jackie. Are you next? Tuition test?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I did try to do actually all four scenarios, too, and I can't exactly remember why. So from our results, it looks like most students, you know, believe that tuitions have had increased. So all my options are based upon them thinking that they have. So the options 1 and 2 are both a bad sampling method, and 3 and 4 are a good sampling method, in my mind. But mine is definitely more hypothesis test lead phrase.
Were you thinking that we would replace, were we going to leave the first one at Kentucky? I thought I remembered you writing somewhere that we could replace them with our states or something.
Yeah, I didn't know if we wanted to be that specific for people that are in other states, and that just happens to be where I am.
Yeah. Would that be a problem, do you think, if we had different states? We probably should keep the same question for everybody, right?
Well, then we could even just make it a more neutral state that none of us are from.
What if we were even, I mean, that's supposed to be your bad sampling one, right? Because we go.
Well, because it's regional and they're doing all 4-year colleges regardless if they're public or not.
Right. And it's also, it's one state and you're talking about the entire United States in your conclusion. So what if we were to pick a state that was known to be particularly expensive, like California, or vice versa, a state, or maybe not known, but perceived to be?
That's a kind of good, because California is so big that people might think it's better to extrapolate from California to the U.S. than from Kentucky to the U.S.
Now, what about, I know last time we had started to talk about the language of, you know, significant versus not and having p-values in there. When are we going to implement these? Are we going to implement all of these things at the same time? Like early in the semester when we talk about sampling? How is that, or are we going to implement it at the end of the semester when we haven't talked about sampling for a while?
I mean, I was mixed. I mean, obviously when I wrote this, I was thinking it was more toward the end of the semester.
Yeah.
Primarily that way they should be thinking about both things about, I mean, they should be thinking about sampling, but they should also be knowing when people report these numbers, what they're actually saying.
Well, I was going to say, could we, if we decide to do this before p-value and that sort of thing is conducted, we say something along the lines of researchers concluded that there was a significant difference and that were able to conclude that the average annual cost of tuition and fees had increased without giving the detailed p-value, et cetera. They found the average cost was this, and researchers concluded, without giving the p-value part, leaving out sort of the technical details.
So in a sense, almost just saying that we found the average cost of this, delete almost two, and we're able to conclude the average cost of tuition and fees in it. Just sort of, I'm going to strike this through and see if that makes sense.
Wait, say it again.
Give me a second. Oh, I can't strike through. Can I? Okay. I'm going to underline. If I delete what I've underlined...
When do you introduce the idea of writing hypotheses and something being statistically significant? My book does it in the first chapter.
Mine's about half through.
You use the Gunderson book, don't you?
I do. I do. I love that book.
I'm pretty sure that is the only textbook that does it that way. I haven't seen another one that, like, brings up the idea of p-value and stuff like that so early, for better or for worse, whether you think they should or not. I don't think anyone else does. One thing we could say is we find that the average cost was blah, 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 and researchers concluded that this was a significant increase for in average annual tuition.
I like that if we decide to take p-values out. Just playing devil's advocate here, if we left p-values in, it gives students another thing to focus on as essentially a distractor away from sampling.
Even if they haven't seen p-values?
Well, they would have to have seen p-values to use that.
Okay.
I think when I had initially thought about the survey, I'd imagined we would be doing it early in the semester after we had talked about sampling. But that, you know how students always, they use the information they were just taught to answer the question, because that's how, you know, that's what they've been taught, that's how school has worked their whole life. Perhaps it would be better to actually do it at the end of the semester and see when they've got a whole bunch of other stuff rattling out around in their brain, could they pull this out? Or maybe we could split the questionnaire up and do a short questionnaire immediately after sampling and then a short questionnaire later in the semester. Because, I mean, I think we have enough questions even with what we have here. We could just take what we have and decide the best way to divide it in half.
Mm-hmm.
And that
way
we
a hard way to tweak these to add a p-value or something like that to any of them.
Yeah. Or we could just leave the p-value in this one, have one that has a p-value, see if that distracts them, have one that doesn't have a p-value, that type of thing. I don't think every single one needs to be identical in format, just with the context switched out. I think maybe varying the strength of the other distractors is not a bad idea to some extent, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we could leave this question more towards the end of the semester, leave the explicit p-value in there, and then, like Felicity said, we can see, does that distract them? Do they somehow key in on talking about the p-value or talking about significant, what my students love to do, because they don't understand the difference between statistical significance and practical importance, so they always like to now include this caveat of, well, even though it's statistically significant, it may not be practically important. What they throw out at us, or are they able to see this is a sampling issue? So that actually could be interesting.
Okay.
Do you think
I have a separate issue. Oh, go ahead.
I said, do you think my bad sampling method is bad enough? Obvious enough, I guess.
I thought so.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable.
I had a concern with the good sampling. Because the way it reads right now, it's one college in each of the 50 states, which means some states will be oversampled. Could we say something like randomly selected from institutions across the United States? Oh, but then we have randomly selected in there.
Well, for the
good ones we want to have randomly selected, right?
Okay.
So we still want some idea of how it was selected, not just... That's why I was trying to say that. I want to make sure, you know, since every state has its own different taxes, all that kind of stuff that they worry about, that each of the states is represented.
Well, they... One thing we could say, this is actually one place where you could have a full listing of the population. So you could have a very accurate sampling frame. So we could just say we randomly selected 50 colleges from a list of all colleges across the country, all four-year colleges across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be enough detail for your students, do you think? I mean, that actually doesn't address the issue of is random good enough, which is kind of a separate issue where people feel that random's not fair. We saw that in some of the, I think the Watson article, didn't we, where students feel like random's not fair. So it doesn't address that issue. It might be interesting to see, do college students still have this idea that random's not fair?
Because I'm not in Word, you all have to make sure it reads good now. I don't have typos. Does that look better? And two.
A list of all public four-year colleges in the U.S.
And I think we could just say, since you talk about the detail of where the list comes from, I think you could just say we randomly selected 50 colleges. I don't think you have to repeat public four-year, since we know that that was all that was on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Better.
I think you need to have it say at 50 colleges randomly selected from a list.
The move around. Suddenly my mouse is not working.
Yeah, I think that reads pretty well now.
Other comments on three before I basically copy and paste the same thing in four?
I think that looks good. What if, effort to make one and two even more obviously biased, we said all colleges rather than just specifying all four-year colleges. So then they may know, well, hey, you know, if you're including two-year colleges in there, that's not fair. Just kind of make it even farther from the mark.
that really helps us, you know, just because you have a big sample size, I mean, it's very useful. So if this one's going to be done when we have talked about hypothesis testing, then are you all okay with in numbers 2 and 3 that the amount is actually higher than the mean from the year before? So that, you know, it's higher, but it's not significantly higher?
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, even on that document, I found there's nothing about a standard deviation reported. So I had to kind of guess off the top of my head what I would consider a relatively decent standard deviation.
I think it looks reasonable. You know, in one case, you're talking about a difference of over $300. In the other case, you're talking about a difference of $80, roughly, if I'm doing my math right, or if I'm off by an order of magnitude. You kind of get the idea, though.
I mean, are we going to have students, though, who just look at the numbers and say, well, it's higher, so the researchers must have messed up? I mean, just to kind of think about what the worst case scenario would be.
I'd be worried about that if we were doing this one early on. So that's why I was wondering if we were doing it after hypothesis testing, the number being higher shouldn't be a big deal, but if we were doing it like just after sampling, they would have a harder time with that.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't know if we should leave it if we're only going to do this one after they've covered hypothesis testing, but if I think we were going to do it beforehand, we would need to make them lower. Just to make it that that's not what they're questioning.
Well, I think as long as we have a question in our student questions that allows them to explain what their thinking was and make sure that that's not the reason why they're agreeing or disagree. I guess maybe disagree is the word I'm looking for.
So that they don't have a lot more student questions here than a lot of other people did. But
yeah.
My thought process was, you know, if they could make sure that they couldn't go back, if they were doing this online or something, that you would be able to kind of ask them questions and they can't go back and change their answer.
Okay.
One argument against making it lower, too, is that it's money. So that always goes up a little bit, you know.
So trying to be more realistic.
Yeah,
like not going down.
yeah.
They won't believe it.
I'm not going to find the next year that average tuition was, you know, $6,500, and I know that's extreme, but like I think we have it close enough to where it was that it's reasonable to see it's a little bit higher, but it's not significant. That's my opinion. Because then again, you might have some students who actually are really on the ball if they saw the number was lower, just go, that's not possible, you know.
Well, that's what I was saying with the luggage is, you know, some students would look at that and be like, wait a minute, there's something, this isn't realistic.
See, I have no concept of weight, so to me it seems perfectly reasonable. Okay, good point. So yeah, I think Jackie picked me. I'm going to take credit for that. It's reasonable numbers here.
Okay.
So what do you think I need to change about my questions? Because, again, I think I'm asking more. This is kind of what I would probably ask in a normal class, probably.
The series from B to E is definitely more leading than any of the other questions we've had. And I guess that's why you're emphasizing they can't go back. But I think maybe that's a general methodological thing, is once we look at all of our prompts together, we might want to decide
whether we want some questions to be more leading than others or make the whole set more or less leading.
Yeah, I mean, this one is a little bit different in that we're talking about hypothesis testing and some other more technical things. So the question is, I mean, do we want more leading questions given that?
I think maybe that's a decision we should make once we see the instrument. Like once we look at it, right now we're looking at each question in kind of its own microcosm. And I think maybe once we get the instrument together, or if we do decide to split it into two instruments, one we do after sampling, one we do later in the course, I think once we get that aspect of it set, we can go back and refine the questions and decide where it's warranted to be more leading or less.
Yeah, I think in particular with this one, too, because there's the two issues of whether they're looking at p-value versus sampling method. We may decide, yeah, later on once we look at everything together, that we want them to be led a little bit in terms of asking about the sampling method versus the p-value. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think Herla's right that we want to look at it a little more holistically once we have everything put together.
I think that makes sense. Hey, listen, I'm going to have to take off, but this is really good.
See you later.
All right.
Felicity.
Bye.
Thanks. I did change part A to, I think, use more of the wording you would use other ones. So I had, do you trust the results? And so I had, do you agree with? Just so that that's not, trust might be different than I agree in students' minds.
Yeah.
And then I just made the other parts red in case that way they're kind of the different ones and we don't know if we want them or not.
It's 2 o'clock. Is everybody okay with time to do the last two?
Yeah. Well, I am.
I think so. I have, like I said, I'm working from home today, and I have my two little ones. They're watching a movie, but and then they were given instructions to play quietly after the movie ended. We'll see how well that works. But I might have to go investigate crashes or screams or something along those lines. Maybe something like that happens.
Well, I think mine will be kind of, because actually all I have are setups for the two situations. I don't have, I didn't actually get them broken out, so.
Okay.
So we'll see how long it takes here. So are we moving on to mine?
I think so. I think Jackie's look good now.
Okay. So, yeah, so since both of mine are basically opinion polls, and I use actual opinion polls, I did have a little bit of an issue trying to fake it, I guess, trying to come up with situations other than the reality of what they did. The first one's an AP CNBC poll that they did on legalizing marijuana. I did sort of make it up in terms of the sampling method because all they said was it was a random, you know, the online or the opinion polls, it's always, you know, we had a sample of 1,001 adults nationally, and they were randomly selected. That's, like, all they ever tell you. So I tried to make it sound as much of a simple random sample as I could, what they probably do.
I think that's too much detail, though.
Okay.
I don't know. I see the purpose of putting it in there, but I wonder if the sentence about, you know, what the pollsters, the sentence starting with the pollsters use the computer.
Okay. Yeah, I think I had put that in response to where we were talking about, you know, students would question, okay, they randomly sampled, but what does that mean that they actually did? We were talking about the luggage question. But, I mean, if you think it's, because I always get that student is, okay, so, yeah, you took a simple random sample, but how do they actually do that?
My students are going to ask if cell phone users were included.
Well, I think actually they were. Hold on. Let me see if I can get the thing to come up. Let's see. At the bottom, where is this thing?
And if we're only going to talk about the using marijuana for medical purposes, is that what we just want to focus on in the study and not the other completely legalizing?
Okay, so you want me to get rid of...
I'm asking the question. I was like, do we want to get rid of that part if that's not the focus?
Well, we didn't ask about that in the original opinion polls. I wasn't sure. A lot of the polls that are out there right now are asking about that because of the issue in California. But we can get rid of that if you think that that muddies the waters too much.
So we're thinking about here, do we just make it all medical versus medical and complete?
Yeah. Given that in our original pilot opinion poll, we only asked about whether we should do this for medical purposes.
Oh, right, our opinion survey.
I think we did that also for IRB purposes, didn't we? Probably, we're probably a little scared of the, you know, regular.
I think I'm fine then with cleaning it up and leaving it as medical.
Okay, so let's just get rid of the 55%. Get rid of that. And then do you not, in the intro part, do you want me to get rid of any mention of that? Like the California stuff, all to get out of that out?
Yeah.
Or maybe like all that, I'll just start it where it says, in April of 2010, AP and CNBC conducted.
I would leave your first sentence, get rid of and other recreational purposes, and I would just say the issues surrounding legalizing marijuana are currently being debated in the U.S., and then say, then you can jump to the sentence in April 2010. What do you guys think of that?
I would leave the currently. I would do the issues surrounding legalizing marijuana for medical purposes are currently being debated. And then currently 14 states allow the use, and then talk about the poll.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. So we'll just – so get rid of, in November of 2010, California will become the first state to blah, blah.
Yeah.
Get rid of that.
I mean, it's nice information, but
– but, yeah.
Not okay. Needed.
I like to be informative, you know.
Okay. But, of course, our students don't want to read anything that has nothing to do with it.
Ah. All right, no, that's not what I'm trying to do. Currently 14 states. Okay, we'll get rid of the most notably California. That's important.
And as a totally nitpicky thing, we have the word currently twice in very short order. I would say maybe just delete the word currently in the first sentence.
Okay.
Because they are being debated.
That's fine.
Oh, and we might want to get rid of the most notably California. Oh, you just did that. Never mind.
I just did that, yeah.
Do that now.
She's reading your mind.
Impressive.
Okay, so back to the sampling description. There was a vote that it was a little bit too detailed.
Well, I don't know. I mean, when I took a survey class, they talked about random digit dialing.
Yeah, and that was kind of what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, describe what random digit dialing was.
Yeah.
My only concern with this one is the book that I use for my students uses this type as an example to talk about what about all the people who don't have phones, what about people who don't do this and don't do that, and I'm wondering if my students are going to go right there when they read this.
Oh. So they might look at this as a bad sample.
They might, yes.
Okay. Well.
I mean, is that just not unique to my textbook? Your textbooks don't do that?
No, actually, I think my textbook brings that up as well.
If it was unique to me, I mean, I could just, we could talk about in more detail when I get to it, so it's not an issue. But.
What if we just said in this case, I mean, in a lot of other cases, we've tried to be careful about describing the random sampling mechanism. What if in this case we just said a random sample and see if students bring that up explicitly? And that may even be interesting in and of itself to look at, saying, you know, we found in this particular case students weren't willing to take that at face value. They really wanted to know more about the sampling method. But I agree with Tara. I think my book also talks about telephone surveys as having potential problems. And I mean, in reality, there is no perfect random sample because there's no perfect sampling frame out there. You never get perfect response.
Yeah.
You never have a perfect sample, right? So
yeah.
I say maybe for one of these, we just try stating random sample and seeing if students are willing to take that at face value or if students do question that more.
All right. I updated it to reflect that. So Ulster selected a random sample nationally. Does everybody see that?
No.
Okay. It should update here at some point. I saved it.
I see it.
Okay.
Can you take by telephone out?
Yeah.
Oh, where did I?
It's in the previous sentence.
Oh.
I wonder if we could even combine those two sentences. In April 2010, pollsters randomly selected 101 adults across the nation and found that 60% favored legalization. So just combine those two sentences.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Randomly. Getting shorter and shorter. And found
yeah.
60%.
It's not a bad thing, I don't think.
Okay. I might have left out a word or two here in the condensing.
Can you end a sentence with only?
For only medical purposes.
Do we need only? Can we just say for medical purposes?
It says solely for medical purposes.
Solely for medical purposes. I like that better. I think you do kind of have to say that just to... Well, I don't know. I guess you don't have to, but... Okay, hold on. I've got to learn how to spell solely. Okay, lousy. Solely for medical purposes.
Need another L.
I give it a second.
Okay.
Yeah, I suppose we could just take solely right out of there, and it would be all right too. I'll make that a good decision. I think it could work either way.
One other thing that I noticed about this is I think we should take out the words of Americans after the 60%, because what they found is that 60% of the people they surveyed want to legalize marijuana for medical purposes. What they try and conclude is that means that 60% of the Americans. So it's
okay.
Kind of subtle, but we kind of splice two different things together in there.
Yeah.
Hang on one second, lady.
So So you're suggesting adding a sentence with a conclusion statement that we can then ask them about?
Okay. Go play in the art room for a few minutes.
No, I realized that when I was doing this because that's actually one of the wording things. I was trying to make sure that I said something about the fact that, yes, it was 60% of the, obviously, of the sample felt this way, but then the conclusion was 60% of Americans feel this way.
One thing we could do is we could change the question so that the question thinks, or the question says, do you think it's valid to conclude 60% of Americans favor legalization? So we could put the conclusion directly in the question statement.
Do we even want to be maybe that exact? Because I think the conclusion they actually put in the article was that a majority of Americans favor
legalization. That's what I was actually going to recommend, was a majority.
Yeah, that's actually the conclusion the article made.
I think that's good. I think that's reasonable.
Okay. So I found that 60% of the, do I actually literally want to say the sample or 60%?
I think you could just delete the of Americans and it's fine.
All right. It's just getting short. It seems so short.
Well, we're going to add a sentence. So.
I know.
Yeah, right. And I don't think short's bad, because we have to remember we're probably going to have them answering more than one question in a sitting. So
found that 60% favored the legalization of marijuana solely for medical purposes.
Yeah.
Do you think? Okay.
Do you think it's valid to conclude a majority of Americans?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Do you think it's valid to conclude that a majority of Americans? Yada yada yada.
It's valid to conclude that a majority marijuana should be legalized for medical purposes. Saving, do you think it's valid? Okay, that should be a question mark. Sorry, I talk to myself when I write, so.
That's fine.
Believe, think, believe.
And then I would put a why or why not in there. And then I think that really takes the covers the two questions that you have.
Okay, so, oh, no, not the whole thing. I don't want to delete the whole thing. For the love of Pete. All right. Give it a minute and it should, oh wait, save. Eventually you should see the update version.
Stupid question, only because every now and then I have stupid questions asked of me. Do you think all students will remember that a majority is more than 50%? Because sadly, I have issues with my students knowing what a majority is.
Do we want to put in parentheses more than half?
That's what I'm guessing, just to be clear.
I would either just say conclude that more than half of Americans or put in parentheses greater than 50%.
I think I like the parentheses idea better because they're going to normally read the word majority, so I think that's a good word to be using, but that way we're clear of what we mean by a majority.
Okay. Yeah, I like the parentheses idea.
I don't know why, but I feel like putting greater than makes it more explicit than saying more than half. That could be completely nonsensical, but that's what I think.
See, I actually thought half would be better because then they might look at the think we messed up because we say 60% and then we say 50% and think it's some sort of typo that we went from 60% to 50%.
That's not a bad point. If you would like to say more than half, I'm fine with that. I don't need to be totally neurotic.
God, I'm being neurotic too. I don't know. What do Tara, Jackie, what do you guys think?
I'm thinking I had a student last semester who didn't know that a half was 50%.
Then I say leave it as is.
All right, we'll just leave it.
True.
We had a bunch of responses. They're like, well, there was a typo in this question, so I don't know how to answer it.
But we
then we'll deal
with
that at that
point. We're going to say greater than 50%, so we're kind of asking, is 60% greater than 50%?
Well, then why don't... I would say that the majority of our students... Well, let's think about this. We don't want to tailor the wording of this question for the one student who might be seriously confused, or even the handful of students that might be seriously confused. Do you think most students know that half is 50%? Should we just say half? A majority, i.e. more than half, and leave it at that? Because I do want to minimize, I want to pick... It may confuse some people, but I want to confuse the smallest number of percentage pieces possible. So if we're concerned that we're going to get a bunch of people saying there must be a typo, you must have meant 60 here, or do you think we're going to have more people saying, I didn't know that half was 50% or I didn't know what half was?
Yeah, I honestly would go with the half. I would go with the argument that most of our students are going to know what half is.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in some cases we may be just trying too hard to look for every single misconception with these questions that might come up. I mean, you know, we need to do that, but, you know, there's going to be something that comes up that we just don't see coming and we can't.
Yeah.
That's why it's great that we have the explain part, because then we can see where they got confused.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure we will all have students who don't know that a half is 50%. That wouldn't surprise me in my classes either, but hopefully it's only one to two students for each of us, so it won't be that big a deal. And hopefully those students, I mean, depending on when they're doing this, they could maybe ask someone about that translation part. So I think this looks good now.
Okay, now do we want to break, here's my question, do we want to just leave this as the way it is, or do we want to break this out into, like, the way we've broken the other ones out? I'm not even sure how that would happen.
You mean break it into four parts?
Yeah, where we have sort of a bad sample and a good sample, and do you want me to go ahead and try to do that? This is one where we had people in both camps.
What about
strong opinions and neutral opinions.
Do we have results of a study that was just done in California? Is the percentage higher there?
I think I did find one. Hold on. It was done in, like, the San Francisco medical marijuana. San Jose Union begins organizing pot workers, so maybe not. Generally, every survey I found shows that people support medical marijuana. That's okay. There's lots of studies where it kind of goes all over the place is how people feel about complete legalization. It's still most people are against, but it's sort of swinging the other way over time. Gallup did a whole study on how people feel about complete legalization. But generally, medical marijuana, the numbers are anywhere from 60 to like 75% for it. There really isn't any polls that show.
Well, if this question is one where we kind of had people strong in both camps, I think that you would only possibly even just need the two setups then, one that's a good sample and one that's a bad sample.
Okay.
Because then we're going to hit the, you know, the agree or disagree part in one question based upon the person.
Well, it, Yeah, we had people who basically were either neutral or I think strongly for. Those were the two camps we really had.
Well, I'm looking at my JSM slides. There were 17.5% that strongly disagreed.
Okay, so we did have some people who were against this.
And most of them were in the disagree camp or at the strong end of it.
Well, I can try to break it out into four things, see what I can do with it. I mean, obviously, it would be the same good sample. I would change the numbers, right? Because that's what we need. We need a good sample, agree, good sample, disagree. All right. I can work on that later. It's already 2:23. I can see if I can try to break it out to four before the next phone call. If that works for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that sounds reasonable. Hopefully it won't take you too long either. Hang on.
Yeah. Maybe just, if it doesn't work, I'll do two, a good sample, bad sample, but I'll try to get it broken out into four setups.
I need you to play in your room right now.
Okay. So the last one, maybe take a look at the last one real quick. Pretty straightforward. And obviously we don't need the graphic, I just included that for fun. I don't know if we can put the graphic on SurveyMonkey. Hear screaming, Carla.
I was hoping you guys didn't hear that. I'm very scared now. Okay, excuse me 1 second.
Do I need the actors named?
I just put that in because I didn't know if everyone knew the I'm a PC, I'm a Mac advertisement. And frankly, we can probably take all that because I know we're trying to keep these less detailed. Just basically say underneath an Apple advertisement and just leave it at that. We don't even have to put in the whole I'm a PC, I'm a Mac advertisement. Because I don't even know if students would remember what I was talking about without the little graphic.
As just a strange comment.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think possibly the very first sentence is going to put people on the defensive?
Possibly. Oh.
I mean, if you were a Microsoft PC user, that might just piss you off.
Oh, yeah, no, it's me trying to give information again, so.
What would I normally like? But I'm just trying to think from a student, I might already get defensive at that point.
Okay, yeah. So let's just get rid of that. No, you have a very good point.
Anyway, especially since the results go in the opposite sort of direction.
Yeah.
Like that might be a little...
I'm married to an Apple guy, so my biases are coming through. So I think if we just get rid of that, one of the more popular topics among computer users is to debate whether they prefer using a Macintosh or a PC, and leave it at that.
Yes.
Get the bias out of there completely. No, that's a really good point.
I mean, granted, it's not one of those, highly, futile topics, but you never know.
Yeah, and maybe directly underneath one of Apple's, get the famous out of there, get that out of there, advertisements. So, yeah, I'm just being too detailed.
I think you could also lose the sentence that says after users submitted their answers.
Okay, yeah, I was trying to get more detail than was necessary. The results of the online poll. I just wanted to make clear it was just one of those things. It's just an online, you answer and then the results pop up.
I don't know enough about Apple Macintosh myself.
But would it be possible to replace the Apple's advertisement just with Mac so that students don't know those are the same thing?
Yeah. Like underneath an Mac advertisement. Let me just save as I'm doing this.
Along those lines, after Macintosh, in the first sentence, you may, in parentheses, want to put Mac the way you would put, like, an acronym before you use. Because that may also be something that might be a non-native language issue. They might not recognize that we're just using a common nickname there.
Oh, so you want me to use Macintosh instead of Mac?
Or after the first time you just say Macintosh, you just put Mac in parentheses.
Or just say Mac without saying Macintosh anywhere. We could probably just say Mac.
Yeah, I think Mac is actually the much more
common, yeah. Some students might not know that that's what it stands for. Some students, that might make the Apple thing clearer for people.
I also don't know, I mean, since we get to kind of make this up a little bit, if you want to just leave the others part of it out of there, because there's other systems besides a Mac or a PC, it's just the poll actually had others as a choice.
I think it's okay leaving it in there because, well, so let's think about it. You might get a techno nerd who says, I mean nerd in a good way, a student who is very computer literate who says, well, these aren't the only two systems. And that's not necessarily, I think, the issue we want them to pull out of this. So I think it would be okay to leave it in there without providing, and I don't think it provides too much unnecessary detail. I don't know. What do you guys think? That's my opinion, my two cents.
I guess I don't think it matters if we leave it in or not, because it's sort of like, you know, the whole Coke versus Pepsi thing. There are other pops out there. So I guess it's one of those things, if you're asked if you prefer this or this, I think we always realize that there's other things that you're being only asked to compare to. So I don't know if it matters.
Okay. Do we need the examples? Most of our, my students aren't going to have any idea what Linux is.
Okay.
I agree that others should be there. I just don't know if we need the Linux after it.
Okay. I figured most people wouldn't know what other is, and so be like, there's an other system. Okay. For some reason, it's not letting me. Other. It's just automatically saving now. All right. Awesome. Did you see me? Is it got the Linux out of there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now it's just automatically saving for me. That's a little scary. Yeah, so, I mean, I wrote this question, and I was kind of surprised that the percentage of users that use a Mac was actually lower than the PC, given that this was like, I mean, the whole point of putting the Mac advertisement thing in there was the fact that, yeah, it was an online poll. A, that's obviously a non-reliable sample. And then that they've got a Mac advertisement right above the poll. Like, that's the other thing I was kind of hoping that they would sort of notice, that would bias the results. But, I don't know. I just decided to put the real numbers in there, and then we could mess with those as much as we wanted.
Do you know anything about the blog? Is the blog widely used by both Mac and PC users?
Justin had never heard of it. I read the description of it. It didn't seem to be biased toward anything, either platform, either way. It's just basically everything that's new in the tech world, they, you know, blog about it. So
I was just thinking maybe Mac was advertising on their webpage because it is something that's used by a lot of PC users and they were trying to drum up some business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, this is a 2007 poll, so I mean, Apple has been, obviously with the iPad and the iPhone,
mm-hmm.
the last 3 years, they have really taken off, so, and I mean, this is not a good poll. I mean, this is an online, you know, techie poll, so it's a terrible sample. But that, I mean, that's the whole point of the question. And surprisingly, there are not that many Mac versus PC polls out there.
Is there going to be some type of
conclusion. I'll be right back. I need to close my office window. My neighbor's lawn service is here, and they're mowing right next door to my window. I can't hear anything.
And that's, I guess, where I kind of left off with this is, I guess I really do need a conclusion here.
Like when they concluded that, like the same thing, like a majority of people prefer APC to a Mac.
Yeah, so Techie Blog.
Okay.
Concluded that PC is the preferred by who? I guess by the online. PC is the preferred system, we'll just say. That's really going to get under some people's skin. I can tell you that right now. And I'll rewrite these student questions to make those more like the other ones that we did before.
Do you think students will wonder how many people voted?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll have to make that number up because there wasn't anything on the poll.
But I obviously know by the numbers that they could have only asked three people or something, but.
You're saying they asked more than three people.
I mean, so I have an idea. I mean, if they're like, this is only 10 people, it'd probably be different if they had than 1,000 people or something.
It didn't tell you on the poll people had voted by that point?
No.
That's weird. I thought those surveys usually told you.
No, I can try and see if I can find it again.
I think what's interesting about those online surveys is they usually have pretty big numbers of respondents, and it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, a large bias sample isn't really very good.
Idiot, I actually had this on the...
I always use the ESPN ones as an example. They have their Sports Nation polls, and I always have to answer questions about sports that I don't care about and I'm not interested in, and some of which I have no clue about to get to the questions that I want, because you can't just, you have to go through and answer all the questions to get to what you're looking for. So I always use that as an example in my class, about how I just answered all these questions and I have no idea what I'm talking about. No, I'm certainly not informed. Does it say how many users the blog, like how many readers they get?
No. Well, I mean, not at the page I'm looking at. I'll have to look that up. On the poll, they literally, it's actually run by Vizu, some other polling company that I guess is running the poll on their website. And to get to the poll, you have to have, like, a username and things to get into the Vizu website. So that I obviously didn't do. Well, I'm going to try and do that, see if maybe they can do that for free. But I'll try that later, not while we're online. Tech eBlog. Let me see if I can get any information.
I clicked on your link, and I don't see about a number of people.
Yeah, there's nothing about. Do you have the results of the poll?
Yeah, like it gives me the numbers, and it doesn't give
me anything. Give me anything about. So, and then Tech eBlog. I went to, like, the main page. It doesn't really say anything. I don't even have, like, an about page. So.
Oh, be careful on that techie blog thing. It just shut down my entire Internet Explorer.
Oh, good.
It said it tried to terminate in some odd way, and it shut down my whole thing. So I won't click around too much.
Yeah, there's a lot of advertising. So, I mean, this is a very commercial website, and apparently likes to destroy things.
All right. So what do we think of this? I can make a number up. It's not like this is already a bad sample. We can make it worse.
I would think with internet polls, even seeing something like 10,000 people responded is really not unreasonable.
Okay.
Trying to think about like those ESPN polls or CNN polls.
Maybe not 10,000. That does seem a little high. Maybe like, I don't know, 4,000. Maybe a little, like 1,000 seems good, but maybe not quite 10,000.
Should we make it even more obvious and note that they didn't restrict them to voting one time?
All right. I just pulled up the CNN poll for today, and they have, just for today, 10,511 respondents. I think it might be a good idea to point out that, yeah, they get to vote more than one time.
Okay. Yeah, and by the way, December 2007, I totally made that up. The results of the online poll, I just put a date on it because I really just put a date on it. Well, yeah, but that's a CNN poll. Since this is a techie blog, I mean, this is a little more specialized.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe slightly smaller numbers would be a little more believable. So the results of an online poll that included I don't know if there's a number here. What's the difference? 6?
ESPN poll of the day has over 87,000 respondents. CNN is more popular than CNN.
On the bottom of the page that she's linked to, it says there were 15,248 readers.
All right, we'll do that. Over 15,000.
But that doesn't mean everybody, that each person voted. That's how many people looked at the page.
Yeah, but we're making it up, so that's as good a number as any. At least we've got something we could point to. Results of the online poll that included, I'll just say over 15,000 respondents. Maybe we just take the date out. I don't know if the date's really that important. And somewhere in here we want to put something about there was no restriction, however, on multiple votes. Is that how we want to put it?
Are we
adding that
to make it even worse? I mean, it's already pretty bad.
Well, somebody mentioned that. I don't know. If you don't feel like we need to make it any worse, then we won't make it any worse.
We're already looking at a volunteer sample and people
yeah.
who are reading techie blogs in the first place.
Yeah, I have no idea how I'm going to turn this into a good sample, by the way. Because, I mean, I don't even know what the population, all computer users, and then how do you take a good sample of all computer users?
Could you take a sample of recent sales at places like Best Buy or
Apple
or something like that? Does Best Buy sell both Apples and...
I believe they do.
Because obviously the Apple Store only sells Apples.
They do not sell Microsoft products.
No.
Yeah, no, that's a good... I'll try and... There's a couple stores, I think. Best Buy is one of them that sells both products. I think actually Walmart sells... I know that sounds funny. I know they sell some Apple products. I don't know if they sell computers, though. I just saw an ad for a sale on iPhones at Walmart. That's why I thought of them. But, yeah, I'll ask. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. Look at the sales records for stores that sell both types of computers.
That might be a reasonable...
Thank you. Because, yeah, I was looking at this, and I'm like, there's no way I'm turning this into a good sample.
Yeah, this is the classic example of a bad sample. You can't just tweak it. Totally small thing. Do you have 15,000 respondents twice?
Oh, yes, I do.
Okay.
All right. I just really liked my 15,000 respondents. Now I have, okay, shows. Now I don't have respondents spelled correctly. Stop that. I mean, I'll clean up the student questions to if we're okay with that, to match. Do we want to just do what we did with the luggage questions? Is that the one? Do you think this is a valid conclusion? Why or why not?
I think that's reasonable.
For this one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, do we, I will break this out, at least do a good sample using the Best Buy idea, because I think I actually really like that. So I will fix those. Just while I'm talking, the link that I sent you guys before our talk started, that was like the concept map thing, just to let you know, I just thought before our next call, as we're starting to try to put the literature review together and our concept map together, what would be really good is just to have a place to just sort of slap ideas up, sort of, you know, brainstorming place. So that's basically what my idea was. And I started just kind of putting, because this is just kind of how I work, just started putting quotes and things up that I thought might be good for the lit review, or just, like, one of them's a definition of confirmation bias that I found in an article that I thought was really good. So that was my idea. It's not that I think that this is how the concept map should look. It's just a place to kind of just throw ideas.
Okay.
So.
Then that was going to be a question I was going to ask. I'm obviously trying to get my article done. and I'm trying to kind of be like, what exactly am I looking for? Because I'm kind of doing the same thing so far, that I'm pulling out, you know, quotes that I think are going to be useful, especially when we actually start writing the paper, like for references and that type of stuff. I'm pulling out just the pieces that have to do with what we're looking at now. I didn't realize how long my article was either. So I wanted to make sure I was doing what we were looking at before I did the whole thing.
Well, yeah, and I'll be honest. I mean, I know we looked, we were looking at the article from all of our sampling stuff, but honestly, since we sort of shifted gears and we're looking at confirmation bias, I actually went to that annotated confirmation bias literature index that Hurlitt put together a while back, and I pulled out a couple articles, and I'm trying to look at those. One of them is the Nickerson article, which I think is actually, did anybody read that one? Raymond Nickerson, Tufts University?
I don't
think so. Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound familiar. It's actually not too, that's where some of the quotes are on the concept map thing. If you look at some of the quotes, it actually looks very close to kind of some of the ideas that we've talked about. So I'm starting to try and go through this, because I think in some ways, I mean, we're looking for some of the stuff out of the sampling articles, but I think we need to look through some of this confirmation bias stuff, not necessarily as a group, but I think we need to look through some of these confirmation bias articles and get some stuff for our lit review. Just throwing that out there. I know it's a lot of work. I know we've already been on the phone 2 hours.
So then what do we need to do for our next call, the lit review, our next big thing?
I think that and starting to get the JSN presentation piece together.
Yeah.
Do you think we need more than, do you think one call will do it for us in July? Or do you think we may need, like we did here with two?
I think we're going to need two, honestly.
And I have to be honest, I don't know how available I'm going to be.
And I say that as the panicked presenter.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, we understand that you may not be able to join us. We can always keep you up to date via email.
Oh, yeah.
I'll always try
the
conference call. I just don't want you guys scheduling around me because I'm going to be only on campus Tuesday and Thursday late. Because that's when I teach.
Now, we understand you have a legitimate excuse.
But, and that's why I'm trying to get most of my stuff done now.
Well, I mean, the thing is like, and I'm going to the AP reading next week, and from what I understand, I'm going to be completely useless for, like, a week. So
yeah, your mind won't even want to function a little bit after that.
Yeah. So.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be, you know.
It was, actually. I had a good experience of at least kind of learning how you grade, you know, like, big classes. Like, if you're going across some, you know, instructors, how can you assess those things, I think. Kind of nice.
Yeah, and then, so yeah, then the next week I got a whole family trip from hell thing going on, so don't even ask. And that's going to be on the recording. Excellent. just realized that.
Background, so.
Yeah.
This will be just a fun tape.
Anyway, and then Herla, you and I are going to be in Minnesota.
Well, that's.
You are going to.
July, right?
Oh, yeah, we're talking July. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
My brain is not working.
July. Well, we're still fairly early in June. Jackie, I'm sorry. When's your C-section? I know you've told us.
Friday.
The 11th, right?
Yeah, Friday.
The 11th.
Wow.
4 days away.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy. So then should we try and put something for, like, the last week of June? Although, I actually, that's when we will be in Minnesota, won't we?
Yeah, I'm flying back Wednesday. And
that's when I'm back as well. So we could do something, is that Thursday, July 1st then?
Yeah, I mean, we could do something the 1st if everybody's on board. I mean, it's right before the holiday weekend. I don't know if anybody has plans.
My parents are, oh, no, it's Thursday. They're not coming on Friday.
Okay.
I'll be frantically cleaning my house, but that's all.
My in-laws are coming Friday.
This Friday?
No, that same Friday.
Oh.
Excellent.
My in-laws are coming in August for 2 weeks.
Should we have more conference calls during that time?
My husband works. He doesn't take off when they come.
A little research cluster therapy.
Yeah.
Okay, so should we try the 1st?
I think what we should consider is either the Thursday, July 1st, or say maybe the next week. Sometime like after the 4th, if before the 4th is hard. So the 1st or the 8th, what do people think?
I can do either. The only time I'm on the 1st, I have a doctor's appointment at 1 o'clock on the 1st, but other than that, I could work around whatever.
I could do either the 1st or the 8th also. I couldn't do the following week. I have 2 exams the following week. For a while, I have an exam in both of my classes I'm taking. But. Oh. If you mail anything out that needs responding to over the next couple of days, apparently they're taking down our server at work. Could you email to my Texas A&M account? You guys have, I've been sending stuff from it because my work email's not working anyway. But.
Okay.
In the event you send anything out, because I won't be able to access anything from school for the next couple of days.
Okay.
Starting in 15 minutes. I just got an email.
Okay. Well, there's some notice for you.
So, I don't know. First?
Well, I would vote for the first just so we can kind of see where we are. Just, I don't know, again, as your panicky presenter. Even if we only, you know, meet for a little while and just kind of divvy up roles and figure out how much work needs to be done.
Should we try to have a rough draft of the slides that we're responsible for by then?
That would be a good idea. Rough draft slides.
And you guys got my email, the JSM presentation that I've done so far?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, when did Bob say he wanted the whole thing with the concept map and all that happy stuff?
At the dinner that you guys are having when you go to the meeting.
He didn't say he wanted something earlier?
He wanted our responses to the question, but those were individual by July 1st.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, thank God. Okay. I thought we had to, like, have, like, a copy of our concept map or something for...
Daddy said we didn't have to have done until whenever you all have dinner in Vancouver. Was
awesome.
That, like, Monday or whatever day it is?
Visual, blah, 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 which makes the detail. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. All right, never mind.
Which I don't even know what I did with that email, but I thought this was.
No, you're right. It says questions for cluster members to respond to by July 1st. And then, yeah, I didn't. Some of you were done, but do address of each individual's experience. So, yeah, I guess these are individual questions. And then, yes, he wants the visual synthesis of the literature at the dinner. Okay. Sorry, didn't mean to get us off track. Just want to make sure we didn't have to do that as well before the July call.
Okay. So, July 1st, what time works? So, Thursday.
Basically, any time before noon for me or, like, after 2:30 because that's a doctor's appointment.
I think earlier would be better for me, like, before. Actually, I think before 2:30 would probably be better for me. So could we maybe do morning?
Sure.
10 a.m.?
10 a.m. sounds good to me.
What are our roles for next time? I'm moderator. That means I move to synthesizer.
That means, yeah, I'm the organizer, so I move to moderator.
Jackie,
so.
Do you want to switch? Do you want me to do recorder for next month, and do you want to do synthesizer again?
Sure, since I probably might not be there. I wouldn't want to put recording duties on me.
Have a snack in a minute, please. Mommy just needs 5 more minutes. Izzy, go stay in your room. 5 more minutes. Start to clean up your big mess.
Will you moderator?
Yeah, I'll moderate and / panicky presenter.
And Hurley, you're organizer then for next month?
Yes, I'm organizer. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And honestly, my synthesizer might be very good, because then if I have to go through and summarize what I think happened, you can tell me if I'm right.
There you go.
Say that again, Jackie.
So it's kind of a synthesizer, and I have to kind of listen back to the recording. I might see if I actually got out of it what I should have gotten out of it. I mean, I'll do my best to call in. It would be for my cell phone, and it will be, you know, baby dependent.
Yeah. No, we totally understand.
Okay. So
I just felt bad when he gave the concept map a, you know, deadline. It's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to meet much before then at all.
So if I have this down correctly, our next call is 10 a.m. on July 1st. I am the organizer, Lee is the moderator, Tara is the recorder, and Jackie is the synthesizer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we're going to try and have rough drafts of our slides for the presentation. For each of our parts as much as possible.
And then the other email that Jackie had sent out, we're just going to look through the article.
Yeah. And anything that you think would be useful for the lit review, the Google Doc I put together is basically for that. So there's no organization to it, just, you know, slapping up ideas.
I'll probably pull some stuff from there, too, when I update our slides, because those are the slides I'm updating.
Yeah.
I think that sounds great.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Jackie, good luck to you this week.
Yeah, I'll be watching on Facebook.
I don't know how soon things will be up there, of course.
Well, yes, no, of course. But, yeah, good luck. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you.
Good luck to everyone else, too, with everything you got going on.
Yep.
And talk to you in a few weeks.
Yep.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.